And so if you have your Bibles, please open up with me a familiar to us place of Scripture that continues to contain the depths of the wisdom of many unfamiliar things to us that present the demands for our heart that points to our purpose in God. Matthew 5:45 and 48. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The sermon that I would like to continue is called Called to Perfection. It is addressed specifically to the disciples of the Lord, and the essence of it is that we, as the Heavenly Father, would be able to rise with our Son over the evil and the good and send our rain on the just and on the unjust. And in this sun and this rain, for the righteous, this light will be life. For the unrighteous, it shall be death. For the righteous, the rains that are poured out by us will give life, and for the unrighteous, it shall destroy their life. In conjunction with fulfilling this command, we stop to study the purpose of the righteousness of God within the heart of a man, the goals that the righteousness of God is called to pursue, abiding within our heart, and in part we've been studying the purpose of righteousness within our heart, received by us in the two broken tablets of the covenant, and established in the new tablets of the covenant, allowing God the ability to give us the promise to be heirs of peace, not by the law, but by righteousness of faith, like how he gave it to Abraham and his seed. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We've noted that the covenant of peace, identified as the inheritance of peace, is called to abide within the heart of a man and be evidence of the fact that the children of God are treasury of our hope in God, containing the complex of all of the promises of God. This inheritance is the goal of the gifted to us righteousness. Therefore, specifically righteousness, by the means of the peace of God that is contained in the covenant of peace, can and is called to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6, 7. So to better research and understand the goal of righteousness that is pursued in actualizing the inheritance of the peace of God and the conditions outlining in what way our righteousness needs to be garmented into the peace, the great peace of God, we've come to the necessity to study four classical questions. What qualities does the peace of God have in Scripture, called to guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? What power does the peace of God possess in the relationship between God and man with God? What conditions are to be fulfilled so we may be dressed into the peace of God, called to guard our minds in God? And by what signs are we able to tell in examining ourselves that we are sons of peace as well as sons of God? In studying the goals that are the function of our righteousness, we've noted that if a person has not died for his nation, for his house, and for his corrupt desires that are generally dressed in pseudo-religious godliness, then his justification that he received in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ in the format of a guarantee will never excel into a quality of righteousness in which he would be able to receive the purpose of peace, or the promise of peace, in the purpose of bearing fruits of peace. And further, such people will lose the promise of peace, giving them the right to be called the sons of God. And further, they will reap perdition. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And so the grace of God, the blessing of God, the peace of God dresses the peacemakers, and so people who are able to perform peace, the peace of God, within their relationship with each other, and to come to God upon the foundation of this peace. You can't, not having peace with God, come to God or approach God. According to the above-mentioned place of Scripture, the fruit of righteousness, identified as the peace of God within our heart, is evidence of the fact that we are sons of peace. This position serves as a basis or foundation for God to exalt us into the virtue of the Son, of the name of His Son, so that we may share with Him the fulfillment of all that is written about Him in the laws, prophets, and Psalms. Because justification that we receive by right of our birth from the seed of the word of truth has excelled into a greater quality of righteousness, in which we became able to bear fruits of peace in our relationship with God and with those around us. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. It's talking about such a form of peace that is able to be functioning or is able to function only within the boundaries of holiness, or be an expression or manifestation of holiness, the boundaries of which are the commandments of God. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. We need to pay attention to the people we need to have, we can have a peaceful relationship with and with whom we cannot. Therefore, the peace that we express out of the boundaries of holiness and not as an expression of holiness is lawlessness, for which we will be required to pay a price of eternal life. It is impossible and criminal to have peace with the unclean and the lawless, who support the unclean, that in their time accepted the truth, but afterwards left their church and turned away from the holy commands that were given them, forsook the commandments of God and the church they came out of. The very fact of their rebelliousness and resistance of the words from God's delegation that are placed over them testify of the loss of peace in their heart and member them to the category of the wicked. Isaiah 57:20-21. This is not the only place of Scripture. But the wicked are like this troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And so God vows that He cannot and will not dress the unclean with His peace. He will not give them peace. And He talks about the fact that they're not able to be called sons of God or inherit salvation. We have already looked at the first two questions: what qualities do the Scriptures give the peace of God, and what purpose is the peace of God called to fulfill in our relationship with God? And we'll immediately turn to study the third question: what conditions are needing to be fulfilled so that in Christ Jesus, by the means of justification that is excelled into the format of righteousness, we may be clothed into the inheritance of the covenant of peace that is contained in the law and the prophets and Psalms. In a specific format, we have already studied the price of three conditions, giving us the right to, by the means of righteousness obtained by faith in Jesus Christ, be dressed into the peace of God, and stop to study the fourth condition. The first component of the price, by the means of righteousness obtained by faith, giving us the right to be dressed into the peace of God, to guard our thoughts in Christ Jesus, is to depart from evil and do good. The second is in the condition to have a turban of fine linen upon your head, accept over yourself the delegated authority of God. To differentiate the voice of God's delegation that God has placed over us and follow only after this voice. Third, it consists in building and forming in yourself a strong spirit. And fourth, consists in love for the word of God in the format of the law of God. This is that component that we have been studying. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Psalm 119:165. We note that as in the previous components, God members love for the law of God to the series of good deeds, or to the series of the deeds of God, providing God a foundation to place us into the atmosphere of His great peace. Due to the presence of this great peace, we will not have a reason to stumble upon the revelations of the truth or the carriers of this revelation, to be safe from falling into perdition. In a specific format, we have already looked at the essence of stumbling and that for the reason of an absence of love for the love for the law of God, God places a stumbling block, which is a barrier upon the path of actualizing or accomplishing His salvation that is gifted to us by God. We've noted that stumbling is a specific type of program pursuing various goals that by itself, without a programmable system, is not able to function. And this program is able to come from various wellsprings behind which stand a battling with each other entities, God and the cherubim. And so that God, as well as the devil, to be able to accomplish their goals, seek a human being that would be able to be their programmable system. Carriers of stumbling that God places can be either righteous men being led by the Spirit of God, as well as people that have the look of godliness, but have rejected His power, being led by the Spirit of deception. And so these are people that are led by greed and have personal glory that are supported by the spirit of deception. People stumbling on the form of the life of the righteous are people that do not have love for the law of God. Babes in Christ stumble because they are tempted and attracted by various doctrine. Winds of teaching and carriers of such deceptive winds of doctrine are unclean, as well as the lawless men supporting the unclean. Matthew 18:6-7, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned into the depths of the sea. And so they are little ones and are able to be tempted easily. Woe to the world because of the offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Matthew 18:6-7. Third, people of the flesh are candidates whose direction is eternal damnation because they have not denied and have not died for their nation, for their house, and for their corrupt desires, resulting in them stumbling upon men that love the law of God and proclaim the law of God, which they are unable to understand or receive, because the law of God is spiritual, and they are not able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Therefore, they are resistant to all that is spiritual and consider all spiritual things as foolishness. They are attempting to comprehend everything with their human mind, their natural mind. Isaiah 8:13-16, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offenses. For the one is a sanctuary, but for another a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, to both the house of Israel as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken, bind up the testimony and seal the law among your disciples. And so this is only for the disciples to bind the testimony, and so no one will be able to understand the truth of God or the word of God if he is not a student and has not accepted the teacher over him. And so when people come to as inspectors to inspect the person that God has placed, these are people that are going to go to hell. Only people who have prepared their heart to listen, prayed about this at home, prepared their heart, and accepted this authority of the person that God has placed over them, are able to hear what the law of God is, how to know it, and how to love it, and how to be dressed into the peace of God. And so in accordance to this place of Scripture, people stumbling upon the cornerstone of salvation, also upon the carriers of the cornerstone, will inherit eternal damnation as a just vengeance of God. The reason why God places stumbling blocks or temptations as barriers before men on the path of their salvation, it's either the attempt of a person to use the abilities of God obtained by him in anointing to self-profit or for the purpose of greed, or the ignorance of a man in knowing the truth, identified as his pride, that is revealed in disobedience and in unacceptance of the order implemented by God in the body of Christ, as well as the keepers responsible for keeping this order. Further, we note that righteous people are people with a good or wise heart, that have proven their love for the law of God by entering the narrow gate, that are identified as gates of righteousness. Because the narrow gate and the righteous gate are is the bride of the Lamb, the chosen by God people, people who are the carriers of the cornerstone. Therefore, people with a righteous heart have become carriers and representatives of the cornerstone that God hears and that hear God. They have become a stumbling block for those who are against the law of God and do not love the law of God. Psalm 118, 19 through 23. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Looking at the revelation of Apostle Paul from God, the stumbling block being a barrier upon the path to accomplishing salvation is a foreign gospel, which is false, a false teaching about the righteousness of God, which has become and about the kingdom of heaven. And so specifically, this foreign gospel has become a banquet or food for these hard-hearted people and has become for them a net, catch or a snare as vengeance for the absence of love for the law of God within their heart. Although they don't see this, they just rejoice right now, rejoice in this foreign gospel. It's become food for them. They don't see that this is a snare, that this is a net that they will be caught in, and that they have been long crushed by the stone and that they're serving a different God. Romans 11:7 through 10. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And so a stumbling block, God has given them the stumbling block because they have rejected his law and because they attempted to receive justification with their own deeds, rejecting righteousness by faith. God has given them eyes that they don't see with, ears that they don't hear with, even to this day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap. Their table, that is the gospel that they've received, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. In this way, the absence of a stumbling block upon the path to accomplishing the law of God is the result of the fact that we love the law of God. Considering the importance of these things, we have acknowledged that without an understanding of the virtues of the law of God, its purpose, its conditions, revealing the virtue of this law, it is impossible to love the law of God, and consequently it is impossible to be dressed or abide in the atmosphere of the great peace of God. Because love for the law of God is not an emotional attraction and not some sort of dependence on our feelings. You can't experience it in emotions and feelings. Love for the law of God is a discipline of the renewed mind and the will of man that is placed in dependence of their wise heart, which is also his new person, created in accordance to God in Christ Jesus in righteousness and holy truth. John 14:15 through 17, Jesus says, if you love me, how do you love the law of God? He explains this. If you love me, keep my commandments. You could say, Lord, but you know that I love you. But I'm a normal person. You created me this way. I can't resist the sin. I can't control my urges, my desires. But here it's not talking about that, that he will be understanding to you in your lusts that you submit to. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. To keep the commandments that identify the law of God and are the given law of God means to desire with the heart to know the commandments of God, to quench the hunger and thirst of the heart with God's commandments. If in your heart you don't have the thirst to know the law of God, then we will not be able to quench the thirst, because if it's not there, You can't quench it. To fulfill the commandments, to keep the commandments of God within your heart, abide within the commandments, meditate about these commandments, look at these commandments, not go out of the boundaries of God's commandments, not peddle with and not belittle the commandments of God, be vigilant, standing guard of the commandments of God, not bring in idols within the boundaries of God's commandments, cleanse yourself of the chaff of the flesh by the means of God's commandments, treasure the commandments as an imperishable inheritance. Seeing such destiny affecting regard to the commandments of God, representing the law of God, we've come to the necessity to look at four classical questions. What do we need to see when we look at the law of God? What goals does God pursue in his commandments? What price do we need to pay to love the law of God? And in what way can we determine that we love the law of God? In the previous services, we stopped to study the first question, what do we need to see as the law of God? Or what virtues do the scriptures provide regarding the law of God? Our love for the law of God provides God a foundation to dress us into the atmosphere of his great and perfect peace. Further, we've noted that ignorance regarding the law of God is an expression of resistance to the law of God. Love for the law of God is a guarantee that we are within the boundaries of the great and perfect peace of God. And that's not all. Love for the law of God dressing us into the great and perfect peace of God is a guarantee that we will have an absence of all nature of stumbling, being for us barriers in accomplishing our salvation. Every law that, and in the present situation, the law of God indicates the moral virtues of its lawmaker, pursuing with this law goals linked to keeping specific order, within the boundaries of which he rules and for which he carries before himself responsibility. The boundaries within which God rules and for which he carries responsibility before himself is the word that comes out of his mouth, with which he created the seen and unseen, and by which he holds the seen and unseen, that he has submitted to and has become a servant of. Colossians 1:16-17. For by him all things were created. It's talking about Jesus. That God through Jesus Christ has created all that is in heaven and all that is on earth, seen and unseen, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or principalities of power, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. The law of God is the program of God in which God has concealed inherent to him qualities and virtues. The law of God is the order of God, identifying the boundaries of the kingdom of heaven. The law of God is a guard that stands protecting the holiness of God, the boundaries of which is the format of the commandments of the Lord. The law of God is an expression of the goals of God, the focus of which are the great destinies he prepared first chosen nation. And these destinies are contained in a unique program system of God that is the heart of a person born from him, from the seed of the word of truth. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Proverbs 29:26. A heart chosen by God as a programmable system of God is the holiness of God, God's personal belonging, the territory of the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven in which God abides and in which God rests. With this, we will note that the law of God as a unique and sacral program of God is revealed in this law-giving institutes of the rule of God, in the commandments of God, in the statutes of God. The law of God is in the commandments of God, the statutes of God, in the God's regulations, in the instructions of God, in God's revelations, in the legality of God, in God's holiness and truthfulness, in God's righteous judgments, in the rights and obsecrations of God, and in the covenant of God with man. In the previous service, in a particular format, we have already looked at four qualities that identify the law of God, and I will shortly remind us of these four, and we will continue. First, the law of God as the program of God within the heart of a man, with all of its law-giving institutions of rule, is the vigilant fear of God, presenting and protecting the virtue of God's holiness within the heart of a man. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God, who is holy, shall be hallowed in righteousness. Isaiah 5:16. It's talking about our heart. Judgment and righteousness of God abiding within the heart of a man are the law-giving institutes of the rule of God. The law of God is called to not only present and protect in the heart of a man the virtues of God's holiness, but also to reveal in the heart of a man the holiness of God and his righteousness. The category of the holy people that possess in their heart the guard of holiness is a stumbling block for the accomplishing of salvation for those people who do not have in their heart this guard of holiness. Secondly, the law of God as a program of God within the heart of a man with all of its law-giving institutions of rule is identified as honoring the feast of the Lord's Pesach. A person not taught how to honor the celebration Pesach will never be able to love the law of God. The holy people that honor the Lord's Pesach shall become a stumbling block for the wicked in accomplishing their salvation. The law of God is a program of God within the heart of a man, with all its law-giving institutions of rule, is the covenant of God with man. A covenant of God with man was shown in the Bible in the symbol of the circumcision of the foreskin, where we see the truth of the circumcision of the heart, making a person a member of the body of Christ. The category of the holy people with a circumcised heart will become a stumbling block for the category of people who have not circumcised their heart, not looking at the fact that they were baptized by water and speak in tongues. The law of God as the program of God within the heart of a man, with all its law-giving institutions of rule, is the right to be anointed as a king of the Lord. To be a king of God is to renew your mind by the spirit of your mind, which is the mind of Christ in our spirit. The category of the holy people who have renewed their mind with the spirit of their mind will become a stumbling block to the path of the accomplishing of salvation, to the category of people who have resisted and rejected renewing their mind. Now the fifth component of the law of God as a programmable system with all its law-giving institutions of rule is the right to be anointed to be a priest to God.
Возьми себе самых лучших благовонных веществ, смирны, самоточные, 500 сиклей, корицы благовонной, половину против того, 250 тростника благовонного, 250 кассии, 500 сиклей, по сиклю священному, и масло оливкового.
Exodus 30:22-30. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an anointing compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils. To be a priest to God is to receive the right to enter into the presence of God as a intercessor to bring forth this fragrant incense before God, and in this way present the interests of the holiness of God, the will of God that is good, acceptable, and perfect. To dedicate yourself to priesthood, first you need to come from the line of Levi, or to accept the program of the redemption of God that is contained in the name of Levi, that is, accept the destiny that is contained in the name of Levi. To belong to the tribe of Levi, as we know, is to bind yourself to God upon the conditions that are contained within the covenant made with God. From one side, to love the law of God is to place yourself in dependence of the truth of the preached word. From the other side, to receive the Holy Spirit, to belong to the line of Levi, is to receive the Holy Spirit as the Lord and Master of your life, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it was necessary to come from the house and line of Aaron. This meant to be dressed into the virtue of a student of Christ, because specifically they were supposed to learn the law, and to learn the law, they needed to be students, and they learned for 30 years the law of God, and only afterwards were they able to dedicate themselves or be anointed to be priests. It was necessary for them to reach the age of 30, which means to grow in full measure of the growth of Christ. Until a person has not been grown into full measure in Christ, it is not possible for him to be anointed as a priest to God, because the law of God is within this priesthood. Ephesians 4:11 through 13. And he himself made some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the keeping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And second and fourth, it was necessary to be a priest, it was necessary to perform a total sanctification in which those who are dedicating themselves would need to die for their nation, for their house, and for their destructive desires. Psalm 45:10-11. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Worship him. To worship the Lord in spirit and in truth is possible only after a person has died for his nation, for his house, and for his corrupt desires. And for this reason, it is necessary for him to incline his ear. Fifth, in order to be a priest, it was necessary for the one dedicating himself to prepare individually sized holy garments. These symbolize the garments of righteousness that are prepared of clean and bright fine linen, signifying the power and abilities of the resurrection of Christ in our new person. And so the garments of righteousness is our new person, the garment in which we need to be dressed to be priests. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19:7-8. Sixth, in order to be a priest to God, it is necessary to prepare fragrance for holy anointing according to the art of the perfumer. This is learning or knowing the holy truth, how to triumph in Christ with the fragrance of Christ for God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to be for one the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. Who's going to make this anointing, and who will anoint, and one who will anoint those who are not supposed to be anointed will be destroyed. So for the one, it will be again an aroma of death and another aroma of life. 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? And the essence of such a fragrance consists in not peddling within your heart the truth of the word, as many do, and as it is written, to proclaim the faith of your heart sincerely, as from God, speaking in the sight of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of the sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Seventh, to be a priest to the Lord, it is necessary, according to the art of the perfumer, prepare a composition of sweet spices for the fragrant incense that he needed to bring in when he entered the presence of God, because if he comes in without this fragrant incense, he will be killed. This is the ability to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, so that our worship be in accordance to the requirements of the breastplate of judgment. So when our worship will be in accordance to the breastplate of judgment, we will be this fragrant incense of spices. And Exodus 30:34-38. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbana and pure frankincense with those sweet spices. There shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted pure and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put some of it before the testimony, in the tabernacle of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves. According to its composition, it shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, it shall be cut off from his people. After these seven conditions are fulfilled, to dress the one dedicating himself into the beforehand prepared holy garments, and anoint him with the oil, preparing him with anointing for holy priesthood. Other people or bystanders that for fear of death were not permitted to be allowed to participate in the priesthood and be anointed with oil for the purpose of priesthood service are people that do not belong to the tribe of Levi and to the line of Abraham, or belong to the line of Aaron, but have blemishes upon their body. This is a symbol of the category of people of the flesh, not having the Spirit, and resisting all that comes from the Spirit, unable to compare spiritual things with spiritual. With great sorrow and sadness, we have today many of such other people that are anointed or delegated to priesthood and delegating others in their likeness. These are people who have not only condemned themselves to destruction, but also those that followed them, or those who are dependent from these people. Summing up the law of God in dedication to priesthood, if a person will not fulfill the requirements regarding dedication to be a priest to God, then this will mean only one thing, that this person does not love the law of God, as he has not allowed God within the boundaries of his responsibility to be exalted in his judgments, to reveal his holiness within the boundaries of his righteousness. Further, this person, a stumbling block from God will be laid for this person. This stumbling block will be the priests of God and their priesthood upon the path to accomplishing their salvation. Since these priests are carriers of the chief cornerstone, and anyone that does not love the law of God will fall upon the stone and be broken, and the one it falls on will be crushed. Sixth, the law of God in the format of a program of God within the heart of a person is reflected in the numerous types of measuring and weighing tools, measuring and weighing the weight and measurements of ourselves built into the house of God, in which we would be able to offer God acceptable sacrifices. And such types of measuring and weighing tools that measure and weigh us are our faith, or the foundation of our faith teaching, our worship to God in spirit and in truth, the level or step of our dedication to God, our selection and purpose in the body of Christ, the level of our abiding in Christ in his trials, and the weight of our words. Our faith, or the foundation of our faith teaching, is identified in the 12 precious foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem that is measured by the law of God in the form of the golden reed. Revelation 21:15, "And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls." And so, in other words, our faith teaching needs to be measured with this golden reed. This golden reed is the person of God that is placed by God, that preaches, explains, interprets, presents this truth. And when he presents it, this teaching measures us, and we sometimes feel, oh, in my life, this is not matching up to this measurement. I need to be in accordance to this measurement. And I make my vow to God, Lord, I deny these thoughts, I deny this way of behavior, and we then correct ourselves within the measurements that are offered. Secondly, our worship to God is identified as 12 precious stones of the breastplate of judgment that is measured by the law of God in the form of the 12 golden settings of the breastplate of judgment. Exodus 28:15-21, "You shall make the breastplate of judgment artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine woven linen, and you shall put settings of stone in it, sardius, topaz, and emerald, and then the second row, turquoise, sapphire, and diamond, for third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst, and fourth row, beryl, onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold settings, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Each one will, with its own name, shall be according to the 12 tribes. We know that the 12 golden settings is the teaching of Jesus Christ that came in the flesh, the doctrine of Christ, or the 12 foundations. Our prayers that need to be in accordance to, in measurement and configuration to these settings. When we pray, our prayers need to be in accordance to the will of God. When we pray in accordance to His will, only then do we receive. Third, the level or step of our dedication to God is reflected in the measure of our abiding in the truth of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and it is measured by the law of God in the form of the measuring cord. This measuring cord is also in the hand of the person that is placed by God to tend His people or His nation. Ezekiel 47:3-5. Here we see a symbolic image or story shown. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, east is the teaching of the eternal judgment, with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. And so to be able to, and so for this man, people need to accept this man. And if they don't, they come to the church saying, I have my own head, and I understand everything on my own conditions, and I have my own Bible. So he measured 1,000 cubits, he brought me through the waters, the water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through through the waters, the water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, the water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. So if we follow the person that God has placed, he will lead us into such depths of the knowledge of God that we won't be able to keep walking, we will begin flowing or swimming in these waters. People know that when a body swims, you feel differently than when you're walking, when you're completely swimming in the water. Fourth, our selection and purpose in the body of Christ is identified as the seal of God upon our foreheads and is measured by the law of God in the form of the tool of a writer. Ezekiel 9:1-11, then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men come from the direction of the upper gate, which faced north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. The six men is the six. Number six is a symbol of man. And so when he's showing these six, then one man had this tool of a writer, writer's inkhorn, at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. So these six are walking with a battle axe. Grace is a battle axe for those who do not love the law of God. And so he's clothed in with linen. We know that linen is one who died for his nation, for his house, and his destructive desires, and has been dressed into the resurrection of Christ. Now the glory of... And so he said, so he had the inkhorn, and they went and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And so the new person to be renewed with the spirit of our mind is to gird your waist with truth. And so And he called the man clothed with linen and had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the other he said, and so this seal, when we listen to the preached word and we accept it, it becomes a seal upon our forehead. The renewed mind. The seal is the renewed mind. You shall put a seal upon their forehead, renew their minds. And so the renewed mind of the person. That this person no longer has his own mind and has died for his own personal thinking, and he is now renewed. And now further, to the others he said, in my hearing, who had, these are the ones that had the battle axe. To the others he said, in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill, after the one with the tool of the writer or the inkhorn. Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your hand... Let your eye spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maiden and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone. And I fell on my face and cried out. And so then he told the Lord, I did everything in accordance to your will. So as the one with the inkhorn had spoken, the six others obeyed and did exactly what was spoken by the one carrying the inkhorn. Don't be afraid to speak. As some people say, oh no, what will I say? What will I do if I speak right now of tithes and offerings in the presence of these people? What's going to happen? Communists had forbid tithes and offerings or the service of it. And only one faith teaching preached specifically, not afraid. These were the Adventists of the seventh day, Pentecost, Baptists, and all others. Catholics did not preach tithes because they were afraid. They were afraid of the authorities. But these preached it. They preached tithes. Sometimes they ask me, are you an Adventist? I say, yes. Adventist is awaiting for the second coming of Christ. And the seventh day is belonging to the Bride of the Lamb. Of course, many movements have taken for themselves great names that they are not in accordance to. You can go to the city through the city of Portland. We have at least 30,000 churches, Protestants, and they all have the name Bethany and Hope, Conquer, and so forth. But if you enter in, you will see that there's no hope in these people. They have no love, and they are not overcomers or conquerors. They are pitiful people that do not have the teaching that they name themselves. This is just a club that they joined and go to, that they deceive each other, and that the one that stands ahead of them deceives himself and them as well. And amongst these 30,000, if you will walk, if God would have pointed to you, you will find a service. Small services where he is there. I was able to be in one of these services when I just came here. When I entered in, I felt like I was in. They were not jumping up and down. They weren't shouting. They were just calm in the presence of God and listened to the word. This was a church in a village somewhere in Oregon City. There's a small little church there. As in the farm, in the farmland areas. The measure, and so again, we have been talking about the are having the seal on our forehead. Now the fifth, is the measure of our abiding with Christ in his trials, are the 12 pearly gates, and is measured by the fruit of the tree of life in the virtue of the 12 months of the holy year. Revelation 21:10-21. The great city of the holy Jerusalem, having the glory of God, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. We know that a pearl is the result of the suffering of a mollusk. When something foreign ends up inside, it begins to suffer, and this foreign item or particle is our sinful nature, our flesh, and the pearl that we need to coat it with is our new person. You see the instruction that here on earth, in this body, in the falling apart body, we with our eyes will see the appearance of Christ, how we will be dressed into the resurrection of Christ. Jesus needs to dress this foreign particle that fell in. This is a symbol of us. At the moment of our birth, our body begins to break apart. There's an element of aging slowly. And as soon as we dress it into this pearl, we will then be preserved or contained, and the Lord will renew this body, and this body will be then in accordance to the pearl. And the pearl is the abiding with Christ in his trials, and it is measured specifically by the 12 fruits of the tree of life that we bear in our heart. Revelation 21:10 or Luke 22:28-30. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, sitting at the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Right now we're studying the righteousness of God that is in the month of that the two broken tablets were broken and the new ones were written or carved. Revelation 22:1-2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. It's talking about the springs that will flow from the heart. This pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, the throne that is within the heart of a person. God shows in the heart of a chosen by God person that loves his law, that is clothed in his peace. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And the trees, leaves of the tree is you being a light for God, or light to the a light to the world, and you will be a light everywhere you go, and you will be first a light in your house and then in a city. A light like upon a city, upon a hill in a city. Sixth, the weight of our words are determined by the spring from where they begin. These could be either the flesh or the spirit. It is measured by the law of God in the form of honest scales and honest weights. Matthew 12:36-37. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When I preach first of all for myself and then for you, that idle words that are not in your heart. When I take and I say, it's written, I believe in this, these are idle words. When I say it's written in my heart, when I confess the faith of my heart, only then is this word not idle. Idle words are empty words that don't have a foundation. For these idle words God will judge man. Why do you take my law into your mouth, but it's not in your heart? So these are idle words. For these idle words God will judge man. And so these Again, these honest scales and honest weights are the commandments of God with which we weigh. Is our prayer in accordance to the confessions of the faith of our heart or in our conversations? If we weigh our conversations, God said to Belshazzar, you've been weighed and found very light or wanting. And so he weighed his words. He said, bring me the vessels that are from the house of God. And they brought him the golden and silver vessels, and he began drinking from them. And his concubines were with him, and he was praising his gods. Why did he not say, bring me the vessels of the house of Baal or their other idols? And they had conquered many nations, and they had items from many different people. And each place of storage or store place had these items that they would take from those places. And he wanted to drink from the vessels that were from the temple of Israel. A person wants to illegally become a god unlawfully. He wanted to drink of the vessels, God's vessels, and for those words, he received those words, Menene Tekel Persei, that you have been weighed and found light. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes, and the Lord will take from you your life today, which is what happened with him. Leviticus 19:35-37. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measuring of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. When it says, I am the Lord your God, that means God is your weights and scales that led you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all of my judgments, and perform them. I am the Lord. God says, my laws, my commandments shall be your weights and your scales. Proverbs 16:11, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. Proverbs 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. 8. The law of God in the format of a program of God within the heart of a man identifies and reveals itself in God's regulations, in the revelations of God, in the statutes of God, and commandments of God. And let us look at how they are identified or revealed. Psalm 119, 109 through 115. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. You see how David speaks of the law of God. He identifies this law in different ways. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the very end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Looking at the just read words of prayer, love for the law of God is presented in 10 things. Continually keep your life in your hand. Not forgetting the law of God, not straying from God's precepts. Take God's testimony as a heritage forever. Incline your heart to perform God's statutes forever. Hate the double-minded, love God's law. Make God your hiding place and your shield. Hope in his word. Depart from evildoers and keep the commandments of God. To understand the essence of the given components as the essence of the law of God as well as love for the law of God, it is necessary for us at least in short look at the essence of each. Otherwise, they will remain for us in the format of slogans that by themselves, without receiving their consistency, will in no way be able to be for us building materials for building ourselves into a house of God. And so to love the law of God, and in doing so, provide God a foundation to dress us into the perfection of his great peace upon the path that does not have stumbling, for the accomplishing of the gifted to us by God's salvation, it is necessary to continually keep your life in your hand. He says, my soul is in my hand. We know well that there is a big difference between when we are under the control of our soul and when our soul is within our power or our control. While we remain under the power of our soul, it remains the enemy of God as well as the enemy of our new person. But as soon as we, by the means of collaborating our cross with the cross of Christ, our renewed mind is placed in dependence from our spirit, we can then begin to reign over our soul. It becomes the holiness of God and at the same time our friend and helper in fulfilling the will of God. You remember how this happened with Moses. His soul, it was his enemy. God showed him, I will show you that it is your enemy, but first you need to believe that it is your enemy and die for her. Cast it to the ground, he said. Deny it. And as soon as he cast it, the rod that he relied upon and they tended his flocks with and that he defended himself with from other beasts had turned into a serpent, and he in great fear ran from it. And God said, return it, take it by the tail. The tail is the control of the soul. These are our words, our mouth. Take your mouth and begin to confess not what you feel, but who God is for you and what He has done for you. Not look at your feelings. Take them by the tail, direction, because you with your words will justify yourself and condemn yourself. Mark 8, 34 through 37. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8:34-37. Therefore, just like there's a big difference existing between the rod of Moses before he cast it down to the ground by the command of God and he ran from in panic, and after he, by the command of the same God, then grasped the serpent by the tail, the serpent yet again turned into a rod in his hand. My soul is within my hand. That's why I have not forgotten your precepts, your laws. To love the law of God and in doing so provide God a foundation to dress us into the perfection of His great peace upon the path that does not have stumbling in accomplishing the given to us by God's salvation. It is necessary not to forget the law of God. To not forget the law of God, it is necessary to build your heart into the image of the breastplate of judgment as a component of continual remembrance for yourself and God also. When the confessions of the faith of our heart in the format of the 12 precious stones will be perfectly in accordance to the 12 golden settings in measurement as well as configuration, then this matchup of the heart in its state as well as the expression of the state of it will serve for us as a continual remembrance as well as for God. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so they may eat within your gates and be filled. The Levite, stranger, fatherless, and widow, we know what these are, belonging to the line of the Levites, the stranger, or being fatherless is when you die for your house. A widow is when you die for your corrupt man. And so when you finish laying it aside and give it away, this tithe, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I kept it in my mind and have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. We proclaim this when we offer our tithes and offerings. offerings. We don't give for the unclean. We don't give for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel. He doesn't say bless me. He says bless your people Israel. He blesses his church and he will bless you with his nation. When we ask for blessing, we need to ask for blessing for Israel, for his nation, for the and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to your fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Deuteronomy 26:12-15. So to remember the commandments of the Lord, whatever may happen, I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Psalm 119:83. Difficult times will come, but if we will have our memory, will be the law of God will be sealed within our mind, whatever may happen. Third, to love the law of God and in doing so provide God a foundation to dress us into the perfection of his great peace upon the path that does not have stumbling in accomplishing our salvation. It is necessary to not stray from God's precepts. To not stray is not to turn to the side, not to turn from fulfilling, not distance yourself from your responsibility, not put to the side, not pervert the essence or true meaning, not turn back, not remove, not push away, not leave, not cancel, not take away, not cut off, not distance, not remove from sight, not walk away, not fall off or away from the regulations of the law. The multitude of the meanings that are contained in not stray. This is in the original Hebrew. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, this is Deuteronomy 17:8-13, between degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days, and inquire of them. They shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. You shall do according to the sentences which they pronounce upon you in that place which the Lord chooses, and you shall be careful to do according to all that they order you, according to the sentence of the law in which they instruct you, according to the judgments which they tell you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left from the sentence which they pronounce upon you. Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously. And understandably, not to stray from the regulations of the law of God, it is necessary to stray away from evil and from the foolish and ignorant disputes with people of the flesh, the unclean and lawless. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34:14. To not depart from evil, you must stray away, to not stray away from God's precepts, it is necessary to stray away from the lawless. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach patience, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. 2 Timothy 2:23-26. Our time is up. Right now we will bend our knees and pray, and all those who desire to confront their sinful nature, their old man, their corrupt man, their unrenewed mind, you may come up here to the altar and we will pray for you so that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, would be able to forgive you and wash you and give you the ability to be dressed into this pearl, into the resurrection of the Lord. And we will then preserve our body and not allow it to destroy. All sicknesses will be removed, and before our body will be changed in the blink of an eye, we here on earth will already become a surprise for all people, because this pearl will not just be inside but also outside as well. Amen. Let us pray, and may the Lord bless us in this prayer. I'm going to be praying together with you your prayer, and I ask you to deeply believe that the Lord is for you. He is not against you. He is on your side. Don't be afraid of the devil, and do not believe his lies. He lies to you and says that nothing will be of you or will become of you. The fact that he's saying these things talks about the fact that there will be something great of you, a pearl, because he is a liar. If nothing would have been become of you, he would not be lying to you. Believe the Lord. Believe his words. Trust upon his word, and you will see miracles in your life. Pray together with me. Close your eyes. Lift your hands to the Lord, a sign that you're ready to receive from the Lord what he desires to give you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come to you with my pain, with a broken heart, with dishonor. I ask you, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, heal my wounds, cover my shame, take away my sicknesses. Allow me to be delivered from them by the power of your word. I accept your forgiveness, your justification into my heart. I open it up, enter in, and be a king and master of my life. I love you. I confess the faith I have in justification, and right now, before heaven and hell, I want to proclaim that in accordance to your words, I am washed, I am cleansed, I am healed, I am restored, I am justified, and I am saved. Amen. Amen. Your sins are forgiven, and your trespasses in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May he look upon you with his shining face and give you peace. May thousands and 10,000 attempt to come near you, but they will not touch you. May all these blessings be upon you, of the hills and of the valleys. May God be your leader now and forever. May all sicknesses be healed in your body. May you be dressed into your new person, and may you see this promise with your own eyes. May all this be upon you and be upon your children and be fulfilled upon you, and the nation shall say, Amen. And now all of us, let us proclaim our unchanging manifestation. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.